Here we are. A couple of pints.
Great. Neck oil, yeah?
As requested. So, what did you get up to this weekend?
Well, funny story, actually. I befriended this panda, discovered he had a beautiful singing voice. Taught him how to harmonise. We got a record deal, went on tour, went platinum in Basingstoke, then broke up due to creative differences.
Right. So that's why there's a panda giving you the finger from across the street, then?
That's right, brother.
Stick your neck out. Beavertown. Never normal. Visit drinkaware.co.uk. Enjoy Beavertown beer responsibly.
A change is in the air, fueled by power that shakes the ground, movement that carves history. They say that victory belongs to the most tenacious. And when the dust settles, a new story begins. Roland Garros, Grand Slam tennis for the first time on TNT Sports.
Watch every match exclusively live from May 25th. Subscription required, age 18 plus, T's and C's apply.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Drop the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. Tim's here, of course, in his bedroom, and I'm here in my studio. How's everybody doing?
Great. Yeah, this is the spare bedroom, but I guess it's mine because I spend all my time here. I'm good. Happy Friday. What's going on with you?
Have you slept in that bed yet? You guys got a little argument. I'm leaving. I'm going to the spare.
No. Fingers crossed. I'm actually hoping this weekend to take it down and bring the couch back up.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. That's a very ambitious. So maybe next week we'll see a new backdrop for Tim. That would be exciting. The fans are clamoring for your old setup. The Bobby Orr picture, the South Side, the Bruins, all those things, your book. Where are those right now? In a box somewhere?
Just around the room. Bobby Orr's right here. The Southie parking's in the bathroom. My book's up there. It's just everywhere.
Tim did a shameless plug for his book in our Patreon today. He took a picture of himself holding his book, saying, buy it now. Okay, why don't you tell everybody? How do you get this book?
Wow, thank you for asking. TimWurzberger.com. I think everyone knows I wrote a book. It is a Memorial Day sale. So anywhere in the U.S. is $10 shipped. So out the door, $10 total through the rest of the month. If it's in Canada or anywhere else, it's going to be a little bit more. You can just shoot me a message. But people are saying it's a good book. I'll say that. John, you still haven't read it. I can't believe this.
I read the first page and then
2 years ago.
Like 3 years ago. I know. There's no excuse. Did you read mine?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Took me like 2 days.
I know. It's a very easy read. Do not buy my book. Anyways, I'm doing fine. The house is almost done. And we were just talking before, Tim. Your brother's in the same kind of stage as I am, where you feel like you're going to move in and that date just keeps getting pushed back. So now we're doing all our inspections next week, final mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and then the occupancy inspection is after that because the government has to have their nose up by behind with everything. So they're coming in. I feel like we were talking before again. I feel like Ron Swanson. I'm a libertarian. I just stay out of my business. Let me build my house, stay off my yard, and let me go about my business. But it's very exciting, and just the costs they're building up. Do you know how much mirrors cost these days? Buying like a mirror, it's insane. Like all these little costs that you don't even think about. It's like crap. Like I spent, I think this week just on Amazon and Home Depot stuff, like $4,000 or $5,000. Just like random stuff. Oh, I need a grill cover for that. Oh, I forgot to order faceplates for my outlets. Oh, I need a cap for my chimney because it has to have a spark arrestor. Oh, I need to have mirrors. I need to have towel holders. All this junk that you don't think about. Thousands of dollars just flying out the window. So it's crazy stuff, but it's definitely worth it. I'm at the point now where it's just numb. You know, it's just I'm going to be in debt forever. I've just accepted. You know, I'm going to be house poor, but just spiritually rich. I think that's what I'm going to do. That's where I'm going to hang my hat.
No, you will be house rich, but maybe asset or cash poor.
Oh, that's right. I did it the wrong way. Yeah. I'm very much house rich, but just cash poor. Absolutely. Okay. Thank you for correcting me. It's always fun when you do that to our audience. It makes me feel good. Let's move on to hockey, unless you want to talk about your wife or anything else.
No, hockey would be fine. Let's do that.
Well, I wish I had good news. I wish I could come on here and say, oh, it's been so great. There's four teams left and the series are just so exhilarating. It's just must watch hockey. But as I predicted, as we talked about, the Eastern Conference is kind of a joke. It's kind of embarrassing the way things have turned out because Carolina Hurricanes, the home team in this series, home ice advantage, have been absolutely embarrassed the first two games of this series. They were just crushed last night, 5-0 by the Florida Panthers. This comes after they lost game one, 5-2, and it wasn't even that close. It could have been way worse. It's embarrassing. It's tough to watch. And I don't blame the Carolina Hurricanes. I don't. This is just the way the structure's set up for the playoffs. This is how it kind of shakes out now that they've just gone to the division playoffs and the wild card, and you have to get out of your division, this, that, and the other. If we were just doing playoffs normally, the Carolina Hurricanes would have played the Florida Panthers in the first round, and we would have gotten rid of the Carolina Hurricanes right away. And maybe after seeing this kind of debacle, the league will go back to a traditional playoff setting. Because if you look at the way things shake out, the Capitals would have played Montreal in the first round, the Devils would have played the Leafs, the Senators would have played the Lightning, and the Hurricanes would have played the Panthers. There would have been four pretty easy series for those guys, and then it would have been a compelling second round. The Panthers would have played the Capitals, and the Lightning would have played the Leafs, and then in the Eastern Conference Finals, you would have had the Lightning or the Leafs playing the Florida Panthers. Very fun. Very exciting. That's not what you're getting now. And I get the reasoning behind getting a good first round matchup and doing the division rankings and the wild card, because typically the first round is almost nobody watches because it's always a beatdown. That's what the first round should be, in my opinion. You play your tail off, you get a good ranking, you get a good position in the standings, and all of a sudden, if you're the Lightning or the Leafs, you have to play a hard first round matchup. And it's not really that fair. So in my eyes, this is a vote for going back to the traditional way of ranking them 1-8. And let's get back to that, because you get these crappy matchups now in the final round where it's almost tough to watch, because it's one team, the Florida Panthers, who are a legit Stanley Cup champion contender. And then there's another team, Tim, Carolina, that just, they should not be there. They got a bye in the first round because the Devils stunk. Missing all their good players, playing guys from the East Coast, I heard. Bad team. And then they play an aging Washington Capitals team that I think were using a handicapped parking spot for the bus because they were so old and they qualified for that pass. It was just, the easiest route to the Eastern Conference Finals that I've ever seen for a team. And now this is what we get. The Florida Panthers are just cruising, and it's not even close. I don't know. Am I wrong in this? Is this not embarrassing for the league?
It's embarrassing, but I think it's going back to your point about the East Coast specifically, because when you look at the West and you look at the eight teams that made it, there were like so many teams that you could see, you know what, these guys. So you have Dallas, Colorado. I would not be surprised if they had gone on to the Cup Finals. Obviously, the Oilers, even Vegas, Winnipeg, right? Even the Kings, made, like all these teams could be Cup contenders. In the East, there might only be one. Like maybe the Lightning, but the Florida put them away in five. Yeah. You know, and like the Leafs are you know what I mean? And then after that, Carolina's not close. We're learning like the Capitals that won the conference weren't close. So yeah, it's a strange thing, but I think this is also just the factor of what Florida does to people. And like, yeah, we're going to talk about the Canes and how disappointing they are, but there's something about this Panthers team that just makes you think these other teams have nothing going for them.
Yeah, and it's a frustrating style of play. But I did think if there was one team who could push back, if there's one team who could frustrate Florida, it would be the Carolina Hurricanes. They play a physical brand of hockey. They play a very frustrating brand of hockey. They throw everything at the net, and they're just very tenacious. They don't stop. They have done nothing of that this series so far. And mind you, it's been two games. But it's been at home. you've completely taken them out of their comfort zone. They are not playing Carolina Hurricanes hockey. That's because the Florida Panthers are more skilled. They're more physical. They're more tenacious. They're like a dog on a bone, and Carolina doesn't have it. It's the eye test is completely obvious that Carolina is not, they shouldn't be here. And it's not their fault. And I, like, we were talking on Slack with Nate and AC and these guys in our Patreon. If you're not a member, it's great. We just chat with these guys and it's fun to go back and forth. And I was getting ready to rip the Hurricanes and just tear a strip off them. It's not their fault. You know, they're just outmatched. The Florida Panthers are that good. They're frustratingly good. And they're just kicking it into gear. I think I saw some crazy stat. Now, the last couple of road games, 4 or 5 road games, the total score is 22-4. These guys are dominating teams on the road. They're dominating teams at home. And they're playing it the way that they want to play it. They're scoring goals within 5 feet of the net. They're getting in the goaltender's eyes. They're hitting. They're scoring on the power play. They're doing everything they did last year when they won the Stanley Cup, but better. That's the scary thing. You got Brad Marchand. You got Seth Jones. Bobrovsky started to play like a goaltender we saw last year in the playoffs. Matthew Tkachuk has looked more like himself. The depth scoring is starting to show up. Everything is clicking for this team. And the scary thing for either the Oilers or the Dallas Stars is this is pretty much like a bye round for the Florida Panthers. They are going to have a lot of rest before the Stanley Cup Finals because I think the Western Conference Finals, it's going 6 or 7. That's the way it looked like in game one. Whereas this will be over, Tim, by Wednesday. And they're just going to sit back and get healthy. Reinhardt now went down. So I don't think it's indicative of Carolina being a bad team. The Panthers are just dominating. Everything's clicking for them.
Yeah, well, we had to talk about a couple of players on the Panthers. You mentioned Matthew Tkachuk, who looked better last night than we've seen him in a couple of weeks. He had a goal. He was moving around. He's on the ice for multiple goals. So it's good to get him going again. And hopefully he's going to get healthier as this time goes on. And like you said, like they could take him out for a game, give him an extra, you know, long weekend.
How disrespectful would that be if they just sit him
right
and they just go, you know what? We're going to let some other guys play. It's like garbage time, but the game hasn't even started. Like game four, we're going to, you know, we're going to dress some guys who don't usually get some ice time. Oh, that would be very funny. But no, he looked great.
Yeah, Carter Verhaeghe has 5 points already in the series. We're going to talk about him. Sam Bennett. So he has a goal in game one. He has 2 goals and an assist last night. He is now tied with Mikko Rantanen for 9 goals, which is the most in this playoffs. People are talking now about his number because his contract expires this summer, and he might be playing himself out of a contract extension. If you just look at his production and Florida's salary cap, he's currently making 4.4, which I didn't realize it was that low.
Yeah.
He's going to double that at least, and he can probably get $10 million in the open market when you consider the center market that's coming into town this summer, the experience that he has, and just, you know, he's going to probably have 2 rings at the end of this in a couple of weeks. And guys, GMs want to build around guys like that, and he's probably going to get overpaid a little bit, but he's a very good player. What do you think his number is going to be?
It's tricky because he's going to be turning 29, but like you said, it's a very thin market this offseason. You have Mitch Marner, and then I think you have Sam Bennett. You have a couple older guys who you might want to kick the tires on, but Johnny Tavares is going to go back to Toronto, and then some other very old guys. So I think it's 7, 7.5, 8, but
no.
GMs want winners. So it could potentially be high. But when you look at – he's the opposite of Mitch Marner. He's the complete opposite of Mitch Marner, where he has an okay regular season. You know, he ho-hum, like a good regular season for him is 40 points, 45 points. And then he just kicks it up in the playoffs. So he's not that guy who's just going to be on fire in the regular season and be your number one option. He's a number 3-4 option in the regular season. And all of a sudden the playoffs hit. And that's where he shines because it's a 7 series. He's physical. He gets noticed. He's injuring guys. He's in the news because people are frustrated with how he plays. So what do you pay for? Do you pay for the regular season numbers or do you pay for the playoff numbers? Because it's two different players, it seems like, with Sam Bennett. In the regular season, I'm giving him 6. In the playoffs, I'm giving him 10, 10.5. That's the kind of he just ups his game.
Well, it's hard to say what he'll do over the course of a full season or even in the playoffs if he's not like if he doesn't play behind Barkov and Reinhardt and Tkachuk, and like you take those guys away and he's getting all the attention, he's still able to deliver? Maybe not, but he's an incredible player in the playoffs. So, Yeah, and I think he honestly stays in Florida. People are trying to do the math and saying they can't afford him, but think about the salary and the tax as well.
Yep.
Where he can stay in Florida and make $7 million, and he'll probably take home more than he would Toronto making $10 million. And then he doesn't have to move, right? And he can stay in a system where he can continue to win every year. So I think he stays back.
And then it's just a case of, do I want to be a contender every single year? Because the teams that are contenders, they're not going out and getting a Sam Bennett. They don't have the money. So when you look at the whole quality of life, the championship window, everything that goes along with it, you're comfortable with this team, I think he stays in Florida. Even if he signs for $6 million, I don't think he's going to go out and try to shoot the moon and get 10 plus like Mitch Marner is going to do. I think he knows where he should be. You see a lot of times teams that win Stanley Cups, they get poached in the offseason. GMs want winners. Every single year it happens, and that team struggles the next year. We saw it with Edmonton. They didn't win the Stanley Cup. We saw it with the Hawks. We saw it with Tampa Bay. It happens every year. Players go elsewhere, and then they fail. And they have this big contract, and they never live up to it, where they should have maybe stayed in one Stanley Cup. Like, just look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Barclay Goodrow went somewhere else. Yanni Gord went somewhere else. Blake Coleman went somewhere else. They're never as good as the player you saw in the playoffs. So it's just... GMs will make a mistake. They'll sign this guy. They'll go out and sign like a who else do they have that are UFAs? This team is pretty much locked up long term. They don't have a lot of UFAs on this team other than Bennett and Marshawn. So for the long haul, this team looks pretty solid. But yeah, I think Bennett stays in Florida. I think he will make more and deservedly so. The guy's been fantastic. He's definitely a difference maker on this team. But let's just circle back to the Canes, because it's tough to watch a team sputter. And then when you just look at their history, Tim, it's like, what are we doing here? Like, how is this even possible? They have played in 14 conference finals games since 2009, a number that for most franchises would be like, damn, that's a good run, because that means you're in the final four teams, the creme de la creme. You're up there with, you know, the Bruins of the 2010s, the Panthers now, the Lightning, the Penguins, the Blackhawks. That's the rarefied air that you're in. The only difference is when the Carolina Hurricanes get to those final four, to the juggernauts, when they get asked to the dance, they just get just abused. They just get just embarrassed. They have lost 14 games in a row. That's tough. That's very, very difficult. What's worse, them losing 14 games in a row in the conference finals, or the Leafs only winning two rounds in the last 11 years under this core four? What's worse?
The point is made. I think we have to be more critical of this Canes team. It almost doesn't seem possible. Like, they got swept by the Penguins in 2009. They were swept by the Bruins in 2019, swept by the Panthers two seasons ago. Now they're down 2-0 in the series. 0-14 over since 2009. It almost doesn't seem like it's real. And you could see, like, last night, the fans are booing them. They're yelling, shoot the puck. They had 17 total. Stop clicking your pen, John. 17 total shots on net and through the entire game. And the fans were booing them and yelling at him to shoot the puck. Like, it's crazy. This is like the Leafs. And again, you have to go back to what the Panthers are doing, because this is a huge reason for it. But the Canes are just, they're imploding at the wrong time.
Well, it's amazing what the Panthers are doing, because they take your strength and they just take it away from you. And this is great coaching. This is great strategy, because obviously we've said it before coming into the series. We said the Hurricanes throw the puck at the net. That's what they do. They try to create chaos. They try to create confusion in the defensive zone, get you running around. That's how they score their goals. They're not a rush team. They're not going to come and go east-west to dangle people like the Oilers do or the Avalanche do with these types of teams, the Stars. And the Panthers knew that, and they said, no. I think they had 9 shots after 2 periods, 7. Like, you had to do a double take, because this is a team that puts up 10, 15 shots a period on average. These playoffs, they were averaging 32 shots a game. 32 led the lead. In the regular season, it was 31.4 or something. So for them to get 17, that's tough. That's the Panthers coming into their barn and saying, oh, you do this really well? Not anymore. What do you do now? What will you do now when we take away your game? And the Canes have no answer for it. They just don't. And it's everybody for the Panthers. They bring in Jonah Gadjevich. He's playing fantastic. Luis Tuurainen, the guy is, what did you say before, Tim? He's got more points per 60 than any player in the NHL. Just
basically
insane.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible the production they're getting top to bottom. And they dispatched the Leafs without arguably the best player, Matthew Tkachuk. And now he's playing good. So it's scary to see the ceiling that they have. We talk about the Oilers not playing their best hockey. Panthers are playing their best hockey. And it almost looks like a scrimmage up there, where they're just, it's just an onslaught, shift after shift after shift. And the Hurricanes, they have no pushback. They score one goal, and then it just gets waved off. And then the Panthers are right back to work. The Leafs, when they were down 3-0 going into the third period, Domi scores. And the Panthers go right back to work, and then it's 5-1. And the game's over. They are unflappable. This is a very good team. It's very scary.
Yeah, the Canes haven't been able to get an ounce of momentum. And I think that you're looking at this situation. This is the perfect game to show why they needed the superstar. They've been trying 2 years in a row to get one. They don't have it. And that was one of our major questions coming into the series. And so far, you're seeing why this hurts. Because the Florida's getting big goals and big moments, and the Canes aren't. There's a lot of reason for that. But superstardness is certainly one of them. And speaking of stars, one player I did want to mention was Carter Verhaeghe left the game last night and did not return after
Sam Reinhart.
Thanks for correcting me. After a hit from Aho, which is the hipper. What did you think of the hit first? Was that like a dirty hit or just one of those weird ones?
I thought it was fine. Reinhart, it's a power play, so he gives it over to Ekblad, and he's waiting to see if Ekblad goes deep and reverses it, or he chips it, and Reinhart has to chase after it. So he's focused on that, and Aho comes, you know, across his blind side. And it wasn't a knee on knee. It wasn't a dirty hit. He's just coming in with his hip, and I think he hit Reinhart. I don't think he did. He hit him on his hip/knee, and he just went down. I don't think it was dirty. I don't think it warrants a suspension or a fine or anything. I thought it was good.
Yeah, Paul Maurice said last night that Reinhart will be examined today. Hopefully not as bad as it looked, but there is some concern, so that could impact things. I don't think they're in danger of losing the series or anything, but he is an important part of their offense and their power play.
Well, yeah, if he is out for the Stanley Cup Finals, now that is a cause for concern. But again, the luxury of playing the Carolina Hurricanes is take your time. You know what? We don't need you. We have other guys who can step up. And that's the beauty of this team. That's the beauty of using the cap loophole of having Matthew Tkachuk on LTIR and Ekblad suspended. You were able to go out and get a Brad Marchand. You were able to go out and get a Seth Jones. So when Ekblad goes out, Seth Jones, you can play 1A minutes and you're fantastic. Oh, you're going to be out Sam Reinhart? Okay, so we can put up there Brad Marchand, who's playing fantastic hockey. I haven't seen him play this good in years. He's playing so good, Tim. It's nice. He's not playing super heavy minutes like he was doing Boston the last couple of years, where maybe he was playing more than he should have. He's getting the appropriate amount of ice time. He's motivated. He's playing great. Speaking of contracts, what's his number going to be this year? Because he's a UFA. And he's only making, like, well, obviously it's prorated because Boston's paying some of his salary. But boy, oh boy, he's going to hit a nice payday this year. And where does he go? Because he's a guy who, he's going to have a lot of suitors. He's going to be a potentially two-time Stanley Cup champion after this. He will be 38 years old. Still really, really productive. And just does all these intangible things. Do you see him staying in Florida? I think it makes sense.
It does make sense. I don't think he's back to Boston, obviously. One name or one team I saw being thrown around by some rumors was Toronto.
No, shut up with these Toronto rumors. I'm so sick of this. Every free agent is tied to Toronto. Everybody, it's just no. If you're Marchand, why the hell would you go there? Why? Ruin your legacy? Never be able to go back to Toronto? It's like when Brett Favre signed with the Minnesota Vikings. It just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. So he will never go to Toronto. I don't see it ever happening. We need to stop this. Everybody who's out there is all of a sudden tied to Toronto. Oh, we're going to kick the tires on that. Toronto's becoming a destination that players don't want to go to anymore. When I was playing, everybody wanted to go to Toronto. It was fun. You know, a nice new building. Everybody wants to be a part of it. Now it's like, I'm not going there. Why? Why? I'm not going to play with Austin Matthews. It sucks. So no. He will not go there. I think he stays in Florida if they win the Stanley Cup. It makes sense. Florida, or go to Dallas. Go someplace great and have some fun. Why would you want to go to Toronto and be miserable? You see the faces? Why do we keep going back to this?
I like the idea of Marchand following Corey Perry's footsteps. A new team every year, a chance to play on all these different contenders, see where you fit in, and hopefully have some more opportunities to win.
The only issue with that is when you get older, you have other priorities. Your family. Max Pacioretty is his year-end meeting saying, I might have to retire because my family life was awful this year. He was separated from his wife and kids, and it's difficult. So when you get older, you have other things going on and you don't want to just travel around. Obviously, Corey Perry, I don't know if his wife travels with him. Had some issues when he was in Chicago. But that plays, that plays a part in it. So I don't see guys bouncing around a lot when they get older. I did it because it was necessary. But then my wife said, we need to stop doing this. And I retired when I had a lot of good years left. Oh my gosh. I had a career high in goals, like my second last year. And she's like, let's pull the plug. I'm like, Danielle, I'm just hitting my peak. And she made me retire. I was just getting warmed up, baby. Just getting used to the league. It's just getting used to my position and my body. But anything else on this series, Tim? Obviously, it's 2-0. Do you see Carolina even winning a game?
I don't. I mean, if you can't win at home, you're not going to go down and win in Florida the way they're playing. And this is what they demoralize teams. Make you think it's impossible to beat them. And most of the time, they're right. So, no, I think the series is over.
All right, let's move.
A change is in the air. Fueled by power that shakes the ground. Movement that carves history. They say that victory belongs to the most tenacious. And when the dust settles, a new story begins. Roland Garros, Grand Slam tennis for the first time on TNT Sports.
Watch every match exclusively live from May 25th. Subscription required, age 18 plus, T's and C's apply.
Here we are. Couple of pints.
Great. Neck oil, yeah?
As requested. So, what did you get up to this weekend?
Well, funny story, actually. I befriended this panda, discovered he had a beautiful singing voice, taught him how to harmonise. We got a record deal, went on tour, went platinum in Basingstoke, then broke up due to creative differences.
Right. So that's why there's a panda giving you the finger from across the street, then?
That's right, brother.
Stick your neck out. Beavertown. Never normal. Visit drinkaware.co.uk. Enjoy Beavertown beer responsibly.
West, Dallas Stars, Edmonton Oilers. Some would say this Stanley Cup Finals potentially. These are two solid teams, very, very good teams. Dallas Stars, obviously the home team. Edmonton comes into Dallas, just jacks up a 3-1 lead right away. Everybody's flying. Everything's looking good. You're going into the third period with all the momentum. Connor McDavid, I get excited when I watch him. I like it. Like, he's so good. Just the burst of speed, the ability to make those moves at such a high speed. I like it. He's so good. He could have had 7 to 10 goals that game. Ottinger played great. But you're going to the third period, Tim. Undisciplined. Corey Perry, Evander Kane, undisciplined. Taking unneeded penalties, offensive zone penalties. Stuff you should never, ever do. You learn that hockey 101 when you're in peewees. Do not take an offensive zone penalty. And that's what they did. And they got burned. And the Dallas Stars got hot on the power play. And Stuart Skinner was Stuart Skinner, the one we know and love. And Dallas never looked back. They scored 5 unanswered goals in the third period. They win 6-3 going away. And it was just like, holy hell, what happened? Edmonton dominated for 2 periods. Then Dallas flipped the switch. And away we go. And this is a case of 2 teams, Tim. I know I'm long-winded today. Can you tell I had a coffee? A little jacked up. This is a case of 2 teams that are very, 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 very good at playing from behind. Exceptionally well. They almost thrive. That was Dallas's 4th come-from-behind win this postseason. We know Edmonton is very good at it. And Dallas took the opportunity, seized the momentum. And Edmonton could not get back into the game. They had a power play. They couldn't capitalize on it. And it was just like Dallas grabbed it when they scored that first goal within the first minute. And it was downhill from there. The crowd was in there and Edmonton could not just hold back that wave of momentum. And it wasn't the Mikko Rantanen show for the first time this postseason, Tim. What did the Dallas Stars do?
Well, this is the game they've been waiting for, because we talked about how dominant Mikko Rantanen was, obviously, early on in the end of the first round into the second. And you have a couple of games where different guys step up, but this was the one that they've been waiting for, where you have 3 points from Tyler Seguin, 2 points from Granlund, 2 points from Heiskanen. You got Robertson on the board, Hintz, Marchman, Duchenne, Sam Steele, Lindell. They were all had points last night. So this is what you needed from them. And this is kind of specifically, maybe I don't want to say demoralizing, like the Oilers are demoralized, but it's frustrating for them because this is the depth that the Oilers probably don't have, is the Dallas Stars. And that the Panthers are probably the only ones that can match them on that. And Miro Heiskanen has been so important. Matt Duchene was being interviewed after the game talking about Heiskanen coming back from injury. And he said it was like getting 2 players at the deadline. That's how good he was. And Tyler Seguin was right there, and he's like, so good. Like, he's just unbelievable, and they're in awe of him. So, yeah, it's really exciting for the Stars to get that production up and down the lineup, where Mikko Rantanen only has 1 point in this, and you score 6 goals, so really crazy. And it also kind of you wonder what happens in those locker rooms where they can just rattle. I know they got the power plays and the penalty kills, but like when they can just rattle off 5 in a row like that after being outplayed for the first 2 periods, like there's not a lot of teams that can do that.
Yeah. And that just shows you how it's not my pen, it's my mouse. I'm clicking to do different things. How do you get the sound up your stinking mouse? I don't understand. But not a lot of teams can
like
do that.
Like a Neanderthal.
Well, I don't know. Teach me how to use my mouth. Again, much like the Florida Panthers, these guys have such a balanced lineup that produces. And the guy that stood out for me, I know Granlund has been playing great, and Duchesne is finally picked up. Sam Steele. He has been playing so incredibly good, and it's not just on the offensive zone. When he's killing penalties, he frustrates Connor McDavid. He's one of the few guys who can pick off a pass, who can strip a Connor McDavid. And it's only been one game, but Sam Steele, in my eyes, was the best player on the ice for the Dallas Stars. He was so incredibly good. He picks up. Did he pick up a goal or was it an assist? I can't remember. No, because Duchesne got his stick on at the net, I think. He had made a great move, backhand play, and then I think Duchesne tipped it in. Or was it Sagan tipped it in front of the net? But golly jeepers, was he fun to watch that. And then Heiskanen, so incredibly good. Like, Mark Stone, such a dirtbag for the play he did on Miro Heiskanen. It was such a travesty to lose him for the first couple rounds in the playoffs. We almost lost versus the Avalanche because he wasn't in the line. But we managed to get through.
There's a play, I think it was the second period, where Heiskanen is in the defensive zone, kind of playing up by the point, and he has Draisaitl one-on-one. And it's a 2-1 game at this point. It's a one-goal game, and he takes Draisaitl out of the play. Poke checks it, bodies him, gets the puck, moves it to a forward, breaking out. Like, there's not a lot of guys that can do that and make it look easy. He's so important to this team.
Yeah, and him paired up with Thomas Harley is a very, very, very formidable matchup for McDavid and Draisaitl. Yes, they're getting the benefit of the late change here in Dallas because they're the home team, and things change when they go back to Edmonton. Don't forget, Edmonton lost the first 2 games to LA. So even if they lose the first 2 games to Dallas, the series doesn't start, you know, until they lose a game at home. And they're very good at getting their matchups at home and getting McDavid away from those top 2 guys, getting them away from the checking forwards, getting them some decent, terrible guys to play against. So I'm not nervous for the Edmonton Oilers, but I think we just have to give credence to the power play. Granlund's playing fantastic. I think they're moving the puck great. They're not relying on Rantanen. It's just a very, very dangerous team. Much like the Panthers, all these guys are clicking at the right time. And then when they aren't, you have that brick wall back there, Ottinger, who is so incredibly solid. Whereas you look 200 feet down the ice, and what's Stuart Skinner doing? What is he doing? What is he up to? Stuart, back-to-back shutouts.
We've talked about a lot of crazy stats in the last couple of weeks in these playoffs. This one might be the craziest. Stuart Skinner in these playoffs has either had a shutout or his save percentage has been less than 8.3. He never puts up an average. He never stops 9 out of 10. It's either all of them or he's letting in beach balls and nothing in between. And that's going to be frustrating as a player because you'd rather have the guy that stops 9 out of 10 every night. You don't need shutouts in order to win. You can score goals. And you just know what you're going to get from the guy. How do you game plan around that when you don't know who's between the pipes on any given night?
Feast or famine. That's it. Who are you going to get? It's the worst goaltender to play in front of because it's so frustrating. You can see the potential because when he plays good, it's like, damn, man, like you're solid. You're really, really good. But then the next night he shows up and he's garbage. And I know there was some traffic goals and some tipped goals. You have to save those. You have to save those. You're in the Western Conference Finals. You have to save those shots. And for everybody out there who's saying, oh, it wasn't his fault. It was his fault. He gave up 5 goals again. And the big question is, I know Calvin Pickard is still injured. If he's healthy for game 2 and you're Chris Knobloch, who do you start? Do you go back to Calvin Pickard? I think you have to.
No, I would still go with Skinner just because of the shutouts. Like he had a stinker last night, but he had 2 shutouts in a row before that. So I think you have to go back and hopefully, because I think Knobloch wants Skinner to be in the net when they win the cup. That's what he's hoping for. And you have to give him the chance to get there. If it doesn't work after this, then maybe you go back to Pickard, but he's going to keep giving him more chances.
Yeah. And this is a moot point if Pickard isn't healthy, but yeah, they will go nowhere if Stuart Skinner continues to play like this. See, and people, he's not tracking the puck. There's a guy in his eyes. You have to fight around that screen. If you watch good goaltenders, if they're getting screened, they're moving their head. They're trying everything that they can to see the puck, whereas Stuart Skinner just stands there. And he's like a statue. And I know he's a big guy, and he's been taught this. If you can't see the puck, make yourself big. Try to take up as much of the net as you can. Players are good. They will see a spot, and they'll hit it. Heiskanen, from the point, just throws it in. It's not even a hard shot. But he picks a corner, and he scores. Stuart Skinner had plenty of time to look around the screen. It's just Marchment's not that big. You can look around. So I think he needs to be pulled. I don't think you can keep playing this game of, oh, well, you hope he's going to get better. He was good last year in the playoffs. So what? I don't know. It's so bizarre, the Oilers. They just, you think you have a position figured out. He played great last year, and then he just lays an egg. Goaltender is such a finicky position. I don't understand. But game two, is it a must-win for Edmonton?
No. No. They proved that. They went down 2-0 before in this playoffs. They're a play-from-behind team. I know the Dallas Stars are a different animal, but I think when you have those superstars, you're probably never out of it. And they even forced game seven last year in the finals, going down 3-0. So I don't think there's a must-win just yet, but I'm sure they'd like to go home with the series tied.
Oh, hell yeah. But yeah, it's getting very, very dicey for the Oilers already. They've only played one game just because how good Dallas played in that third period. All right, moving on. Big news out of Toronto. I know we don't talk about Toronto enough, but the Shanahan plan, Brendan Shanahan, the jerk bag that suspended me for over a dozen games in the NHL, has been fired. Finally. It's been a long time coming. This is a guy who went through a couple GMs, a couple head coaches, numerous assistant coaches, upper office hiring everybody to assistant of the GM, president's shoe shiner, this, that, and the other. He had everybody at his disposal, and he's gone. Finally. The last final shoe has dropped from the initial Lou Lamoriello, Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, Sheldon Keefe, that whole brain trust of we're going to change the way we play hockey. Everybody's going to follow us. We're going to play analytically. We're going to run and gun. No one's going to be able to keep up with us. Everybody's gone. And what do they have to show for it? Two playoff runs. Yes, he made the playoffs 9 straight seasons, the longest tenure, longest current streak in the NHL. That's great. But they won 2 rounds. So as a whole, Brendan Shanahan was an okay president. You have to give him props, Tim, for what he did. He took over a situation that wasn't great. His franchise was floundering. Like I said, not making the playoffs. Got some pretty good draft picks. Got a huge free agent signing with John Tavares. The biggest name on the market got him to come home. Really built this roster into a contender. His issue was he could not get away from that initial idea. The core four, build around them. That's what's going to win us this Stanley Cup champion. These incredible forwards. Once that didn't work, and it's well documented, once that didn't work, I think 4 or 5 years into it, he couldn't get away from it. And he had moments where he could get away from it. 2021, in the bubble, they have a 3-1 lead to the Habs, and they lose the next 3. 2022, they lose in Game 7 to the Bruins, I think. 2023, they won a round and then get dominated by the Panthers in the second round, 4-1. 2024, they lose to your Bruins in 7. And then this year, they lose to the Panthers in 7. There was 2 key moments where they should have really, really flipped the switch on this franchise. You're not getting rid of Matthews. Matthews is signed long-term. He's your captain. He's your future. You're not getting rid of Tavares. You signed him to a long-term contract when he wanted to come to Toronto. So those 2 guys were locked in. Willie Nylander, he was a great player. But you've already lost 4 or 5 playoff rounds. Are you going to re-up this guy? They re-signed him to a huge deal, $11.5 million in 2024, I want to say. They should have never done that. And then obviously when Mitch Marner became a free, or his no-move clause kicked in after they lost to the Panthers in that terrible second round, they should have traded. Those are the 2 moves that sunk Brendan Shanahan. Instead, he re-ups Willie to big money. He lets Marner's no move clause kick in, so he's not going anywhere. And that sealed his fate because you have to change things up. I'm not going to do the insanity thing like everybody does. I think he was just stubborn. he really did think that these guys could win. He really did think that he could surround them with different players and get the most out of them and have a successful team. And I was going to compile a list of the guys that they got, but they got everybody. Right? They got everybody. This was a great team on paper every single year. And I think where he went wrong was he just, I think he was, maybe he was nervous to go away from his idea. Maybe he thought he was smarter than everybody. But a lot of the times when you make a decision and you're stubborn, that's, you know, he couldn't take outside criticism. I don't know. Is that where he went wrong?
Well, it's a weird thing. We talked about this the other day, is like where the blame goes to the players versus the GM. Because if he bets on moving one of those star players and then they go win somewhere else, you look at Shanahan and say, hey, Nylander just won with Vegas. You're a moron. We never should have got rid of him. So you keep them hoping that it's on the players every year. I believe in this group. We're going to stick together. And then probably 2 years, 3 years too long. And that's where it's back on the GM for being blamed again. So yeah, it's a lose-lose situation. And I keep thinking of like the only comparable I can really think of is the Washington Capitals, where they kept the same team more or less year after year after year. And it was Ovechkin, Carlson, Backstrom. Then at one point, Oshie comes in. You have Kuznetsov, all these other guys that become part of that core. But there were a lot of changes in that roster, too. And they also had their goalie that Toronto never got in Braden Holtby. So there is something to be said for sticking by your guys and hoping that eventually it comes together. But it wasn't just that they weren't winning, because the Capitals were going on runs and stuff. It was that the way they were losing and then not showing up and getting shutouts in game seven and things like that. So, yeah, you know, it's easy to look back, hindsight 2020, but it is the right time to move on from Shanahan for sure.
Oh, my gosh, you have to. Because he's the orchestrator of all of this, and they're not in a great spot. You're losing Mitch Marner for nothing. He's going to get a boatload in the offseason, and then you're left with the team. Like when he re-signed Willie Nylander, did you know he's the highest paid right winger in the league?
I did not. I would think he was like three or four.
Yeah. Like he's makes more than Pasta, Kucherov, Rantanen. Hyman makes 5.5. Yeah. How nice would it be to have Hyman in that spot instead of a Nylander? I know Willie's great and he's creative and he's a great offensive player. I'd take Hyman over Nylander any day of the week on a team. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, and Nylander is not the one you're like. He's probably third or fourth on the blame list because you're looking at other guys ahead of him. But again, at the end of the day, the reality is someone has to go, and it would have made sense for him for the reason that you mentioned.
Yeah, and well, this all falls on the president. So you made Willie Nylander the highest paid right winger. You made Matthews the highest paid centerman. Obviously, that'll get eclipsed when McDavid re-ups his deal, but he's the highest paid player in the league. Austin Matthews. McKinnon makes less. McDavid, Barkov, Eichel. All of these guys I would have over an Austin Matthews. Yes, I would have Sasha Barkov and Jack Eichel over an Austin Matthews. I can debate that with people. He scores goals, but we see what he does in the playoffs. He's not a true leader. He doesn't have that tangible factor that you can just get behind him and go. But what does this mean for the offseason? What's next? Because you have the GM, you have the coach, you have everybody that was put in place by Brendan Shanahan. All of a sudden, do you get a new president who comes in and just wants his own guys? Because that's what happens. Once you change the head, he wants his people below him. He's not going to come in and gel well with the GM. And you see this all the time where they change the president. It might not be the next year, but very soon after he's put in place, you have a new GM, you have a new coach, you have people that are his guys. So how long until Trevilling's gone? And who's the new? I know we don't know who the president is, but what's next for this team? Because it's a big offseason for them.
Yeah, it's a huge offseason. And I think, you know, starting it this way is signaling to the organization that things are going to change around here. And so what that means, we don't know exactly yet. Like you said, Marner's probably gone, and that has to do, that's not a decision the Leafs are making. That's just the reality. And he wants to walk. And all these reports are coming out from guys like Pierre LeBrun and Elliott that, yeah, Marner wants to test free agency. He wants to go out there. Tavares, I don't know, like, because you think, okay, Tavares, you bring him back on a team-friendly deal. He's probably a good second power play, third line center at this point that can move up and down if you need him to. But then you're just bringing back the same group again. So I don't know what you do here. This is not an easy situation, and I haven't sat down to play armchair GM yet, but I know that there's things are some big decisions are coming.
Well, I think you 100%. If Johnny T wants to come back, the only way you bring him back is on a team-friendly deal making $5 million.
Or less,
Or less, because he's made his money. I think he's made over $100 million in his career, but he's still in the right situations. Like, he was a point-per-game guy this year. He's a very, very good player. So I think you bring him back, you let Marner walk, and you round out the roster. And not that there's a lot of people out there, but like, go get a Brock Besser maybe. You know, get some guys who are going to make $7 million, $8 million. You can't keep spending on high-end guys. I was watching Stevie Dangle's stuff. The Leafs had four guys making more than Sasha Barkov. Four making more than Barkov. And in my eyes, I would take Barkov over every player on the Leafs. You have to be smart with your contracts. You have to be strategic on who you're giving your money to. And I think the Leafs just got so afraid of losing all of these guys, their hometown draft picks. They overpaid. Like, Matthews is not worth 13.25. I know he scored 62 goals. He's not. Nylander's not worth 11.5.
Well, you know what it is? You can win a cup and build a cup contending team around an 11.5 Willie Nylander and a 13.5 Matthews. Like, that's possible. You can't do it with all four of them. You can't commit to those four guys. You know, like, you have to have more a well-rounded core, and guys are going to play different roles. And every single one of these guys wants to be play hero hockey. And you've seen their game evolve a little bit, but when it matters most, they're unable to deliver. And not only deliver, it's we all know what happens. So yeah, it's very frustrating, and I'll be very curious to see where this goes.
How does it make sense that Mikko Rantanen re-signs for 8 years for $12 million. And Matthews is 13.25. Honestly, who would you take, Rantanen or Matthews, right now?
Rantanen.
Yeah. And I know he's Dallas. I know the state tax, and we talk about that quite a bit. But how do you give him 13.25? Like, how does that negotiation go? To be a fly on a wall is... I would love that. But Kyle Dubas gave out all these contracts, and it's like, man, did you not push back at all? Because you look at these other teams that have these high-end players under contract, and it's like, yeah, but McDavid's 12.5. Draisaitl's 8.5, and now he's jumping up to 14 when the salary cap goes up. Like, they strategically gave him more money when the salary cap will increase. So it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's a big offseason for the Leafs. They have a lot of unknowns. Got to figure out how to round out that top six now that you're potentially losing two guys from. It's interesting. It's going to be an interesting offseason for them, but it's the right move. Get rid of Brendan Shanahan. He did good. He did some good work, but it was time to go. Get some fresh faces in there. I don't know. They'll make the playoffs next year. They always do. It's just, what do they do after that? I don't know. I'm sure we'll talk about it, Tim. Anything else?
No, this is fun. And hopefully we still have some hockey left to watch in the East next time we talk next week.
Oh my gosh, I know, because we got the Oilers and Stars coming up, but then we could potentially, the next time we talk on Tuesday, they could be done.
Yep.
Because we got the game on Saturday, and then we got a game on Monday. So they could be eliminated the next time we talk, which is probably going to happen because Carolina, but it's not good for the Hurricanes. No more tidal waves happening this season. But anyways, thanks for joining us, everybody. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you all next week. Cheers.
Here we are. A couple of pints.
Great. Neck oil, yeah?
As requested. So, what did you get up to this weekend?
Well, funny story, actually. I befriended this panda, discovered he had a beautiful singing voice, taught him how to harmonise. We got a record deal, went on tour, went platinum in Basingstoke, then broke up due to creative differences.
Right. So that's why there's a panda giving you the finger from across the street, then?
That's right, brother.
Stick your neck out. Beavertown. Never normal. Visit drinkaware.co.uk. Enjoy Beavertown beer responsibly.
A change is in the air, fueled by power that shakes the ground, movement that carves history. They say that victory belongs to the most tenacious. And when the dust settles, a new story begins. Roland Garros, Grand Slam tennis for the first time on TNT Sports.
Watch every match exclusively live from May 25th. Subscription required. Age 18 plus. T's and C's apply.